The Vocation Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Holy Spirit Radio.
The priesthood or religious life is a supernatural call.
To lay down our lives so that others may have life.
So to put one's own desires, one's own will aside and say, Lord, what do you want? I will place anything on the altar of sacrifice.
We need men to give up their life for Jesus Christ. Now.
Welcome to the Vocation Hour, a program that provides insight and encouragement for young men to lay down their lives and heed the call to the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And now your host, Father Stephen DeLacy.
Hello and welcome to the Vocation Hour. I'm Father DeLacy, the Vocation Director for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, and very pleased to be back with you again for another great hour of, you know, talking about what we need to do to build up a culture of vocations. There's a lot of great news happening in vocations. Across the country, vocations to the priesthood are on the rise, and connected to St. Charles Seminary, we've experienced a 13% increase in our numbers from last year to this year, and that was a similar increase from the year before to last year. So God is so good. A lot of good things are happening. We just welcomed, at the time of the recording of this, 45 new men to St. Charles Seminary. It's been from the Trenton Diocese, from all over, all different dioceses throughout the country. And then 18 of those new men were for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. So God is so good. The norm for Philadelphia was about 10 a couple years ago. And to be able to, say that last year we had over 20, and then this year we have 18 guys coming into the seminary, is very exciting. So a lot of things are moving forward in the vocation work that's happening, because of the fruit of your prayers, because of the fruit of your own example of discipleship, and then also too for more and more people actively engaged in fostering vocations. So it's a great moment to celebrate that, and let's keep moving forward. Our numbers are going in the right direction, but we still have some more work to do, and we still need to continue to grow, our culture of vocation. So praise God. My name is Father DeLacy, and I'm the Vocation Director for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. I'm happy to help anyone who's thinking about the priesthood. And if you wish to reach out to me, you can get my contact information through my website, which is Heed the Call. That is heedthecall.org. Well, just a couple of quick commercials before we get into the bulk of the show. There's a lot of great events happening in the greater area. One, if you haven't heard of Abbey Fest, Abbey Fest is turning into a real dynamic experience of Catholicism for our general area. It's at the Dalesford Abbey. It's on September 24th. And it really, the concept is, it's an outlet for dynamic Catholic musicians. There hasn't been really a Catholic outlet for dynamic Catholic musicians who come together to give praise to our Lord through music. Also connected to this day is a dynamic Eucharistic procession, dynamic Sunday Mass, a offering of confessions, and just a great experience of the Catholic culture. And so that's at the Dalesford Abbey on September 24th. So you're encouraged to come to that. The office also has a number of wonderful events coming up. We're calling, sixth grade, junior highs for Saints Alive. It's a dynamic one-day, retreat experience, ideal for those schools that are making a confirmation. On October 30th, the Vocation Office is hosting a day at Hershey Park. We'll start with Sunday Mass, and then we'll continue with a dynamic day. If you order your tickets to the Vocation Office, you get the group discount, plus you get excellent pricing for the catering for that day. There will be Come and See weekends, so that's coming up for some of the men who are thinking about the priesthood. They're going to start up in December, so keep that on your radar. Calling all of our Hispanic Catholics on November 6th, we're going to have the Hispanic Family Day at St. Charles Seminary. Last year we had a blast, and this year it plans to be even better and bigger and more dynamic. So, you're welcome to come out for that day. Well, praise God, vocations really come as a fruit of the church's effectiveness in fostering discipleship. It's only to the extent that we get people who are making following Jesus their top priority in life, and everything else is a secondary priority. That's what a disciple is. That's what a disciple does. That a disciple is first and foremost, making very intentionally God's will their top priority. And oftentimes in our Catholic formation, we don't get to the full point of discipleship. And we need to really work hard then to change our culture where we're not just merely, comfortable with people, showing up at church or merely comfortable with people, being able to say they're enthusiastically Catholic, as good as that is, but it has to go further. It has to be discipleship. This past week, from the recording of this show, we were reflecting on the gospel reading and our Lord was talking about the narrow gate. I love Bishop Barron, and as people who've listened here, I've reflected on some of the things he said before. Bishop Barron was talking about the narrow gate is kind of like learning golf, right? You can't go out there and be a great golfer and swing the club any way you want. There is set rules, there's norms, there's, proven ways of doing it. And if you want to be a great golfer, then you have to have the discipline to engage the technique properly in order for you to be great. And, he referred to that as the character building that needs to take place in our own Christian identity. I was reflecting on his words when I was watching the Olympics and was blown away by the marathon, the men's marathon. These men were running 26 miles. And, if anyone hasn't seen, me physically for a while, I would really struggle to run a full mile without, without doing that, without being too out of shape and breathing heavy and that sort of thing. I really have to work to get back in shape. But, in my lifetime, the quickest I've ever ran a mile was about 4 minutes and 30 seconds. Like that was the quickest mile that I've ever ran. And that was only running one single mile. Well, the pace that these, men were running for their, for this marathon was a 4 minute mile and 20 seconds. I mean, absolutely amazing. In the context of running 26 miles, that's how fast they were going, which it just blows my mind how, their endurance and their strength and that sort of thing, and the mental toughness. And reflecting on what these athletes had to do to get to that point, it's the narrow gate. They had to dedicate everything they eat has to be dedicated to their running. Their rest needs to be dedicated to their running. Their entire lives forming the mental toughness that's needed to be able to run a marathon that way. That's all part of that conditioning that needs to, be in place for them to be able to execute at such an amazing level. It was very edifying for me. The runner that won the gold medal was from an Eastern African country. I forget which country. As soon as he stepped over the finish line, he made the sign of the cross right afterwards. And then I was watching shortly thereafter, the silver medalist ran across and also from an Eastern African country. And then, and it was an American. I wish I knew the name, but it was an American that won third place. And as soon as he crossed the finish line, he too made the sign of the cross. And just what a very powerful symbol at that point that they were telling everyone that I did not run this race alone. I ran this race with our Lord Jesus Christ and that he was helping me. He was pushing me further. It's the pattern of his sacrificing that has given me the capability to sacrifice in such a way to be successful at running this marathon. And such a powerful witness that they gave. And that's a powerful analogy of what a witness of a disciple gives. We run the narrow gate. We engage the narrow gate, which means that all of our time is focused on improving our relationship with our Lord. It means too, just like these marathon runners, they can't just go out and eat pizza anytime they want. There's a lot of things they can't do in order for them to be able to execute at the level that they're able to execute. And same thing for us. There's the moral teaching. There's things that we can't do, which is sin, because it's inconsistent with the character formation that needs to be in place in order for us to be able to respond to God's will the way we need to. We need to be quick to sacrifice. We need to be quick to pray. And, as we are going through this narrow gate of doing everything our Lord asks us to do, a lot of people go to the way that's wide and easy, but it's the narrow gate that takes sacrifice. And our Lord even says, not everyone is strong enough to go through the narrow gate. And you only become strong enough going through the narrow gate is by years of practicing intentionally, forming our characters in such a way that whatever God asks us to do, no matter how great the sacrifice, we're willing to do so. what our Lord says about not everyone is able to get through the narrow gate, I think that has a beautiful tie-in to vocations. You know, many people are called to the priesthood. Many people are called to religious life. Many people are called to the married life. But not everyone is making it. It's because they're not allowing their own discipleship and their own character to be formed in such a way that they can handle the imitation of Christ's sacrifice that every vocation calls us to. And you and I, we have the ability to form that in our own lives by cooperating with God's grace and recognizing that this is everyone's vocation, is to become as great a disciple as possible so that we can give glory to God in all that we do and we can make doing God's will our top priority. Well, praise God, you guys are listening to the Vocation Hour. We have a great show in store for you. Oftentimes, the number one, you know, criticism that I get, you know, by being the vocation director for Philadelphia, you know, my technical title is I'm the vocation director for Diocesan Priesthood. So the job I have is to specifically foster vocations to the priesthood, but I want to put it out there that I'm not against other vocations. I'm enthusiastic for all the vocations, so I just want to make that clear. And even though I tend to communicate more my enthusiasm for the vocation to the priesthood is because this is my assignment and what I'm called to do. I love the married life. I love religious vocations. And then also, too, you know, consecrated single vocations are beautiful as well. So, you know, this show will have a little bit of a interesting wrinkle, and it'll hopefully prove that I'm open to other vocations as well. So we have two wonderful special guests here, and we're going to focus on one for the time being. We have a guest, he's making his second appearance on the show. We have Mr. Bill Rose, who is of the Joyful Films. You know, and you may have experienced his films out there. If you haven't, definitely go to Joyful Films, the website, and you can see the great work that he's doing. He is working for the vocation office these days, as well as doing many other projects, and he is really doing some great work, you know, helping to spread the culture of vocations through the use of videos. So, you know, Bill Rose, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Father. Yeah, it's awesome being on the radio with you. It's always so fun just camping up here in the studio and going at it. So thanks for having me.
My pleasure, and it's an honor to have such a man of such great caliber on the show here. So anyway, do you want to give us your background? Where did you grow up, and where did you go to school, and where did you recently graduate from?
That's true, yeah. Well, I'm from the Lansdale, North Wales, outside of Philadelphia area, and grew up, went to Mary Mother Redeemer Catholic school, so it was great. That's still my home parish, so you know, shout out to them. Everything's just going great there. And then I went up to LaSalle College High School, where I was able to then really foster this passion for the video making, you know, as you referenced. Mm-hmm. So just so grateful to them, you know, and being able to kind of hone and foster that within me. And then went on to Drexel, just graduated from Drexel film and video program, and was able to do a co-op with you at the vocation office, which is part of my story here that I'm sure we'll get into. And so just some really exciting stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, well, praise God. And is there any truth to the rumor that the reason why you went to LaSalle was because you couldn't get into St. Joe's Prep?
No, actually, that's a false rumor.
A false rumor. False, I know there's rumor. A rivalry there, so yeah. I just like to stir it up as much as possible.
Yeah, well, it's funny because, you know, now that I'm out, it's just, yeah, I meet guys from the prep all the time, and we get along very well. Father Chris Marconi found out that he went to the prep, and me and him couldn't be more similar. So,
he's a good guy. He's a good guy. So, that outstanding. So, well, and, you know, some of you who have been listening to the show for some time now may remember Bill, and he was on the show actually at the time as a discerner for the priesthood. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, maybe we can recap a little bit. What was it at the time that was drawing you to the priesthood? And we will tell that story.
Yeah. Well, I mean, during my time at Drexel, you know, I underwent a little bit of a conversion experience, and you know, was really, really just gung ho about my faith, and you know, it's something that has just become so important to me, right? And so, so having doing that, I learned about all the awesome things that the Catholic Church has. You know, I learned about daily Mass and you know, the Liturgy of the Hours, and you know, I was just like, what are these great things? So, you know, one summer I was going to Mass every day at MMR, Mary Mother of the Redeemer, my home parish, you know, doing morning prayer with the priest because they have it public, open for, you know, people in the public, and was doing that every day. And eventually, you know, Father Tom Whittingham, who was at the parish at the time, you know, caught on and said, hey, Bill, you want to, you know, come over for breakfast? So, you know, we're coming. I'm going over for breakfast, you know, doing all that fun stuff. But he just kind of mentions under his breath, you know, oh, Bill, have you ever thought about becoming a priest? You know, he just kind of like threw it out, you know, under like just nonchalant, you know. And I was, you know, no, I never really thought about it, you know. But having heard that, you know, and it just opened this gate in me. And it was just like, wow, like I actually could be a priest, you know, because I never really viewed it as an option, right? Up until then. But now once I did, it was like, wow, well, what is this? You know, a life of serving God, that sounds awesome, you know, that sounds like something amazing. So I told him, you know, hey, I'll look into it, whatever. So obviously, you know, that's how I, you know, met you. And yeah, he gave you my contact information. I just remember some great stuff with that. I mean, you remember I was in adoration for like 4 hours one day, and I was praying, and he, you know, God was just telling me, he was just saying, you know what, you should just like reach out to that guy, you know, Steve DeLacy, or Father Steve DeLacy that, you know, Father Tom was telling you about. So I was like, all right, fine, I'll do that. I get back and I have an email from you in my inbox when I get back, and I'm like, whoa, this is crazy. So, you know, I told you how amazing that was. Anyways, we came in, and somehow this talk of my internship, you know, came up because I had a co-op coming up being at Drexel. And oh my gosh, I just can't believe that happened. That came up as an option, and you know, you were like, "Oh yeah, we got all these great video ideas," you know, and you know, why don't you come, you know, come on, and we could start making videos for the vocation office. And so we ended up doing that. Ended up making, you know, Heed the Call, you know, and the Jose Serrano video, you know, Aaron on the Jumbotrons at the World Meeting of Families. Absolutely. I mean, it's just like, God was just totally at work in all of this. So, you know, I'm really grateful for, you know, having made that step into discernment of the priesthood, because none of this would have happened. And praise God.
And Bill, let me stop you there. Just a couple pieces just to highlight a little bit.
Yeah.
Just curious, you know, your conversion experience, discernment of the priesthood came and this openness then to, you know, I'm willing to lay down my life as a priest, which, you know, is really the goal for all spirituality, to be able to say, like, Lord, whatever you ask me to do, as radical as it is, I'm going to do it. You know, what, you know, the conversion experience, what was the catalyst of it? Do you have a sense of where that came from?
Yeah. I mean, it had to have come from, just the strength of my family life. You know, I was always raised, you know, a certain way, and you know, always believed, like, you know, this is the type of person I would be, like, you know, maybe not like this radical in my faith or anything like that, but I just realized that, you know, well, hey, I'm like out here in, you know, in the college world, living the college lifestyle, and like this does, like these what I'm doing doesn't necessarily align with that goal, you know. So it's just purely God touching my heart and making that possible within me.
Praise God. Yeah. Beautiful.
So, and then that, you know, that openness is just like a rekindling of that relationship with God, which really is the beginning of any vocation.
Absolutely. It's really all about the relationship. You know, and if we don't have that relationship with God right, then, you know, none of the lives we're living, even as a priest, you're not living a vocation. You're, right. You know, if it's disconnected from our Lord, no, that's very powerful. And then, you know, you really were an excellent discerner, you know, and you really jumped in like with great enthusiasm. What were some of the activities that you were participating
in? Yeah, that was awesome. I mean, I remember, when I first, you know, talked to Father Tom Winningham, he gave me the To Save a Thousand Souls book, you know, read that front, you know, cover to cover. All the discerning, coming to all the different discernment events. We have the discernment group that meets at the cathedral once a month. We have the Come and See weekends. I think I went on every single Come and See weekend, pretty much. All the different retreat opportunities, the different things that we had going on. You know, basically, if it was happening, you know, I made a priority to be there because this was something that I was, you know, discerning, and it was something that I was focused on. And I'm really grateful for having done that. Being in where I am now, you know, realizing that, well, I'm not called to the priesthood, I'm called to marriage, but I'm grateful for that time that I did put into the discernment. You know, it was like a good over a year, you know, amount of time where I was like seriously discerning this. Mm. And I'm grateful for having done that, because that year was really, it was really a time for our Lord to form me, form my heart, and he taught me how to love and taught me, you know, how I could even be a better husband and a father. So you know, definitely something really any Catholic man should get involved with.
Praise God. And I wonder if, you know, we talked to a lot of Catholic, you know, men, and especially the work that I do, and, you know, a lot of men didn't even, you know, like, was similar to you in the sense that never even considered the possibility that God's calling them to the priesthood. Well, you know, if you're not open to the basic possibilities, you know, and really in the Catholic world, you know, a man becoming a priest or a woman becoming a religious sister are basic possibilities. If you're not really open to that, then, you know, are you really even discerning? So, you know, the powerful thing is that, you know, you're talking about, you know, discerning marriage and you feel called to marriage, like you can really say that you've discerned that. Like we all are naturally hardwired for marriage. And so you're, you know, no way have you defaulted to marriage. You've actually like actively discerned that this is God's will. So walk us through that. So like, cause you know, there was an enthusiasm you had for the possibility of you, you know, having a vocation to the priesthood. You know, walk us through that point where how God kind of resolved that. And then how it was clear that you're called to the married life.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, you know, that time that I was able to spend discerning the priesthood was really God forming me for my true vocation, you know. Coming to a point where realizing, you know, any good priest is also going to be someone who would make a good husband and father, right? And in my discernment, I came to the point where I realized that maybe I wasn't fully ready to be a husband and a father even, you know, so I was kind of at that point like, you know, well, you know, I'm not really sure, like, you know, am I called to the priesthood, you know, but it wasn't really like a discernment. Like you said, most people do like a default to married life. You know, well, at the time, I kind of felt like almost I was doing like a default to priesthood. And then looking back at it, you know, that original call that I did feel, you know, it was, wow, like I said earlier, a life of serving God, that sounds great. You know, that's what was going on in me. And then what I realized was, you know, well, you know, you don't have to be a priest in order to serve God. You know, you can serve God from any vocation, you know. So so then, you know, kind of took off my discerner of the priesthood hat and put on the, you know, discerning marriage hat and, made that life transition.
Praise God.
Yeah, knowing Catherine all the way through this, and then eventually hopping into a relationship with her, and
we're about to invite her into the show here, which is exciting. So, but you know, one quick comment here is that we would, we would consider this a great success. Mm-hmm. You know, like one of the jobs of the vocation director, you know, is to help men discerning before the seminary. One of the jobs of the seminary is discerning while men are in the seminary, and discernment is trying to figure out what God's will is. So, you know, we would say that, you know, Bill is a success story, and that he has effectively discerned what God's will is in his life,
yeah.
And we rejoice about that. So, mm-hmm. Well, praise God. Just a quick reminder that you're listening to the Vocation Hour. You know, my name is Father DeLacy. If you're considering a call to the priesthood and you wish to reach out to me, you can get my contact information through the Heed the Call website. You heard Bill talk about the enthusiastic videos that he's produced, the Heed the Call video, the Jose Serrano, and plus many more. And you can have access to those videos from the Heed the Call website as well. So it's great to have all of you here. Just a couple quick commercials. The Abbey Fest is turning into a dynamic Catholic experience. It's at the Dalesford Abbey on September 24th. If you're looking for a great experience of a day dedicated to the Eucharist, to family, to great music, and just a fun experience of the faith, you know, come out to that. Bring your family, bring your friends. It is absolutely wonderful. So, and then the Vocation Office is also sponsoring a day at Hershey. On October 30th, you know, we will be headed to Hershey Park. We'll celebrate Sunday Mass in the morning. You can get discounted tickets through the Vocation Office, plus an incredible meal package. It is going to be a tremendous experience. And since it's right on the eve of All Saints Day, we will actually have many guest saints being present there. So it's going to be a phenomenal day. And then shortly thereafter, on November 6th, calling all of our Hispanic Catholic friends, we're having a Hispanic Family Day at St. Charles Seminary. So bring your family and friends to it. There's great food, great fun, and, you know, a soccer game versus the seminarians. Now, the seminarians won last year, but I think the soccer players that were there last year, they're coming back, and they want to win it this year. So I think we're going to see the seminarians humbled on this day. And so come and experience a day of just great joy and enthusiasm on November 6th. Well, you know, we're back here. We've heard the story of Mr. Bill Rose here, who, you know, has come forth from discerning the call to the priesthood, has become clear that he is called to the married life, and he alluded to a very special person who's in the studio audience who's in the studio today, not the studio audience, but in the studio today. We have the one and the only Catherine Gillen. Catherine, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Father.
Catherine, do you want to tell us what's your background? Where did you grow up? Where are you from? Where did you go to school? What type of work do you do?
Sure. So I also grew up in the Lansdale area, just like Bill. And I attended elementary school at St. Stanislaus Parish School, which is now modern day elementary school. And then I went on to high school at Lansdale Catholic. After I finished high school, I decided to study speech pathology at Temple University.
Mm-hmm.
I had a great experience there, especially being active in the Temple Newman Center with Father Sean Mahoney, as well as Focus is at Temple, Fellowship of Catholic University Students. So
mm-hmm.
I had a very good experience there, studying my major as well as increasing my faith and fellowship and meeting lots of really good lifelong Catholic friends. Following Temple, I continued to study speech therapy. So I went to LaSalle and I currently work as a speech therapist in middle school.
Outstanding, so. Catherine. Well, welcome to the show. And,
thank you.
You know, I don't have the sound effects on me. I would love to do a drum roll, but, you know, Catherine and Bill are engaged.
Hey.
Praise God. God is so good.
Yeah.
So has a date been set?
Yeah, a date has been set. We're looking at a June wedding.
A June wedding. Wonderful. So yeah. That's how our listener audience can pray for these two. And so, you know, this is the the big surprise here that I'm not only fostering priestly vocations, but in this show, we're fostering married vocations too. So God is so good, and Catherine is so wonderful to spend time with us, and I get to work with Bill every day, and it's a particular honor to have Catherine on the show here. So, and Catherine also, like Bill, is a person of faith. So, Catherine, how has your faith developed and grown, especially into the young adult woman that you are?
Sure. So, I grew up being Catholic. My family has been very influential in fostering the faith within myself and my brother. And so I thank them very much for that. And, went to Catholic school, and that is wonderful experience as well. But I do remember when I entered college was really the time that I knew that I needed to choose my faith for myself, and that it was something that I had always wanted to do it for myself, but it was something that you more need to do for yourself when you're in college. And like I had mentioned before, being involved with the Temple Newman Center and Father Sean Mahoney and Focus, they were all very excellent formats for me to be able to continue to grow in my faith. And so the 4 years that I spent there were very influential, and definitely, I believe, has helped to form the person who I am today. I knew that after college, seeing the just strong friendships that I had formed with other young adults of faith, that was something that I wanted to continue. And following college, I became involved with Metanoia Young Adults. So that was right before Father DeLacy started at the vocation office. I was still involved. So that has been an excellent experience as well. And just knowing that there are strong, active young adult Catholics that are also, choosing to live this life of faith and then living it out, and being able to be supported and encouraged by other young adults is a wonderful experience.
Well said, and our faith is meant to grow in the context of community. Yeah, that experience at Temple's Newman Center with a vibrant Catholic community there, encouraged by the Focus missionaries, encouraged by Father Sean Mahoney, who's there, and a lot of good things. And, then Metanoia was also then another community that you were able to plug into after you graduated. And, Metanoia is a wonderful young adult ministry. And the good news is out there. I don't think this is as well known as we need to get the word out, but there are dynamic young adult ministries all throughout our listening area, all throughout New Jersey, all throughout, the Philadelphia area. There are Hispanic young adult ministries. There are, a Nigerian young adult ministry out there. So, we have the experience of, all the churches, life that, young adults who, it used to be the norm that the marrying age was about like 18 or 19, which is, it's a different story now that there's groups of people that aren't starting their families, right after high school, there's college and then beyond and that sort of thing. So there is this growing need for a dynamic faith community in this time of being a young adult, and there's just great communities there. So is it safe to say, and Catherine was, one of the great members, and I was the spiritual director at the time. So I remember when she first joined, I was so excited to, I'm like, oh, we have new membership. That's exciting. And somebody from the Temple Newman Center in particular was very wonderful. So is it safe to say that is Metanoia the place where the two of you met?
Well, years ago, we went to the same grade school. We didn't know each other at the time, and we always lived in the same area, but we never really knew each other existed until we went to Metanoia, the young adults, Metanoia young adults. So, definitely grateful for that. I remember, we have different events, every week. That week it happened to be a Bible study, and that's when we first met.
Now, not to put you on the spot, but was it love at first sight?
No, actually, it was not love at first sight. Mainly because I wasn't sure if I was allowed to ask her out on a date. Yeah, yeah. Because yeah, there's a little bit of an age gap there.
Oh, so, okay, okay. Fair yeah, enough. Fair yeah. enough. So.
So I wasn't sure, you know, and plus I was, you know, in this discerning the priesthood, where I, you know, part of that wasn't intentionally not dating, yeah. So,
but it was it friendship at first sight?
Yes.
Oh, definitely. Oh, yeah. I mean,
Yeah, and I think how you mentioned too, like when Bill started coming to Metanoia was around the time that he was beginning to discern. So I also, you know, we were able to be dear friends at the time, and it was, you know, a great experience to see him grow through that, and you know, the person that he's become, you know, over the past couple of years, and so.
Praise God. And so you were, you know, in a role then of as a supportive friend, helping him to discern, you know, if God's calling to the priesthood. And then, you know, so praise God for that. So then, you know, and just curious, what impact has young adult ministry had on your faith life? Well, let's just talk about that a little bit more, because I think it's worth it's worth teasing that out a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know where to begin to get started. I mean, seriously, like, Metanoia Young Adults has had just an absolutely monumental impact on my life. I mean, just like, cause I removed myself from the college scene, you know, and I'm kind of like back home, but like, where are all my friends, you know? And here there's this young adult group, you know, with all these great Catholic young adults getting together every week, you know? And here I am now making all these great friends and being able to be supported in that faith life. You know, I heard someone say recently that, you know, your faith, you're kind of like a giant a tree, you know, in the redwood trees, you know, like they, and their roots, they don't go deep, but they go wide because they're all interlocked with the other trees. And, yes. you know, if only one of those trees were there and others weren't, it would, you know, one storm and that tree would be down, know? And so, you know, for me, you know, being able to be in that community and, you know, being supported by people, you know, like-minded people, it was just monumental, And plus, being able to meet Catherine is a ginormous plus. So,
absolutely. So, Catherine, how about yourself? What benefits have come from a young adult ministry?
After attending Temple and graduating, it, you know, you're in an environment where all of your friends are around, they're all going to mass at the same time, there's Bible studies going on, things like that, and it's all very close. And so upon leaving college, you know, very quickly realize that those things are not as accessible as they were in college. You know, if you want to go to daily mass, you have to drive there, or, you know, you might be the only young adult there, things like that. And so, but I still knew, given the experience that I had, that that was something that I was very important in my life. And I knew if I didn't continue to have that, that would, you know, be a void in my life. That was something that was very important. And so upon finding Metanoia, I was just so excited to find out that there were other young adults in my area that were also choosing to actively live out their faith. And since the time that I started to go, it really just has been such a joy to see our group grow. There have been just, you know, it's grown exponentially since I've started to come. We were having just weekly Bible studies, and now we have social events every month and holy hours, and we have speakers for our Theology on Tap and those kinds of things. And so it's just been a wonderful just group of people that I've met, and you just feel so much more encouraged in your faith knowing that you are not the only young adult around in the area who wants to live their faith there. In fact, you know, hundreds, thousands of, you know, young adults that are actively choosing to do that. And you are not alone.
Hmm. very powerfully said. And you know, we're talking about metanoia. What's the age group target for a group like metanoia, and specifically metanoia? What area would you be living in that you know, you might be drawn to metanoia?
Yeah, it's I guess we advertise 20s to 30s, but there's some, you know, 18-year-olds and 17-year-olds, you know, things like that. We're in the Montgomery County, so you know, all over that that area.
So if you're in Montgomery County and you're a young adult and you're not part of a group, can, you know, just kind of Google, you know, metanoia young adults, and boom, it'll bring you right to the website. If you're in any other part of the listing area, like I said, metanoia is not the only group for young adults. That there's a lot of wonderful dynamic young adult groups all throughout our listing area. And if you need help connecting with one of these young adult groups, feel free to contact my office. You can get my contact information at Heed the Call. That's heedthecall.org. And I'd be very happy to help place you in a good young adult ministry that will be a community that supports your faith. And just as metanoia has supported, you know, very powerful Catherine and Bill and their faith life together. And now, you know, praise God, they're, you know, their discernment of married life together. So I wanted to ask the question to Catherine, how did Bill first ask you out?
How did Bill first ask me out?
Well, I mean, no, go ahead.
So our first date, we went ice skating, and but there were some times we had kind of fostered more of a friendship, realized that we had more of a friendship that, you know, maybe could potentially grow into a dating relationship. And so we had gone a few times before then, but, you know, we had a conversation just about, you know, what was going on. And at that point was when, you know, Bill had said to me, you know, as you know, I am discerning the priesthood, but he said that he was, you know, open to dating. He realized that that was something that he, you know, should do, especially if he is thinking about the priesthood, that, you know, as Bill said before, he didn't want it to just be a default to enter the priesthood, that, you know, he needed to date as well. And so at that point, it was around Thanksgiving, and Bill had said, you know, we both had plans with our families. And so Bill had said after Thanksgiving, he would call me, and he did. He called me that weekend. So, and we set something up, and we, our first date was wonderful. So we actually, speaking of young adult groups, we did go to Mass first at the Catholic Center for Young Adults.
Oh, very nice.
Which is another young adult community that Father Sean Mahoney started
in South Philly
as a group of young adults who live in community. So they all live in a house, a men's house and a women's house, and, you know, they share weekly events. They're open to the public and things like that. So we had gone to Mass and brunch on a Saturday morning, and following that, we went ice skating at Penn's Landing. So,
yeah,
very nice, very nice. And then, how long has the dating before engagement taken place?
Well, yesterday was just our 9-month anniversary.
Wow, very nice, very nice. And then, what did the what did the engagement look like?
Oh, okay.
How did you get engaged?
Yeah, this is a great story. So the St. Stan's in Lansdale has a adoration chapel, 24/7 perpetual adoration. And we have an hour there that, you know, we go every week. And that's a place where we've spent a lot of time discerning our vocation is before the Eucharist in adoration. And so one, you know, just another day, another hour, you know, in front of our Lord. And on our way out, you know, we both genuflect, and I stayed down on one knee,
nice,
right there in front of our Lord.
Wow!
And asked her to marry me, and she said yes.
Wow! So, that's powerful.
Yeah. So it was a great time. Our families were out in the parking lot waiting for us when we came out, and And it was a beautiful, beautiful moment. So
nice, nice. So yeah. Presumably, then Catherine, you said yes at that time.
I did. Say
that's
yes.
Wonderful. Now the families were there, so you know they were there, Bill, right? But Catherine, yeah. You didn't know. Yeah. This was all a surprise to you. So there. just curious if she said no or maybe or whatever. Did you have a backup? Did you have a signal? Like if you flicked the chapel lights, they would all disperse? Or
no. I was anticipating an enthusiastic yes. And that's what came. So
praise God. So you knew Catherine well enough to know that this was a sure thing. In other conversations, it's wasn't a gamble at all.
Yeah.
You knew what was happening. So praise God. And so, then so obviously you guys are and I think this is an important point to just bring up too. Like engagement from the church's perspective is an intentional time of discernment of marriage too. So and that's you guys are very actively intentionally discerning your married life together and doing some wonderful things. You're not, it's not a passive time. You're not just merely preparing for the wedding day, but you're doing some very wonderful things and trying to figure out if what God's will is in your life. And so what are some of the marriage preparation things and discernment things you've been doing, during your time of engagement?
Yeah. Well, I remember, coming from that very intentional time of discerning the priesthood and then entering into discerning marriage. There were things, specific things that I was doing as for my discernment of the priesthood. And so, when we entered into a relationship and we knew that we were very intentionally discerning, marriage, we took those things and basically, came up with, what does that look like for marriage? And believe it or not, they're very similar, discerning marriage, and discerning the priesthood are very similar in the things that you do, obviously they differ, but they're still like the same, bullet points there, So, the things like I had been doing for discerning the priesthood, like daily mass and the liturgy of the hours and, all that stuff like that. Like, I was like, something came up to me. I was like, well, now that I'm discerning marriage, like, do I stop doing that? I was like, well, no. I mean, there's nothing like that. It's the prayers of the church and, going to mass. Like, so staying close to the Eucharist is definitely going to help you in your discernment. So those things stayed. You could, still do those things. But then there was the little bit of change. Instead of going like to the discernment events, things like that, it was going on dates, it was getting to know each other. And then there was also those times for reflection, the interior reflection, in prayer. The exterior reflection, me and Catherine both talking about, well, where are we at? How are you feeling? How am I feeling? Is everything still going great? Do you still feel called to marriage? Do you feel called to marriage? What are you thinking? So there was that interior and exterior reflection. And then a couple of things. I don't know how well we did at this, but there was an intentional thing that we wanted to do was, go out and talk to a married couple, So I know, like, one of the things for you, when I was serving the priesthood, I think we said something like once a month we would do like a check-in, me, the vocation director, there'd be a check-in, about the, where am I at in my discernment. So we would kind of, what we thought was, we could find a married couple, and talk to them about, what is marriage and, just kind of get like advice towards that.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
And, I think that those were the things there. I don't know.
Yeah. Praise God. So, and then in your discernment, which, it seems like it obviously happened before the engagement, what is, how did you know that you're called to married life and then also called to marry each other? We're used to hearing the stories of seminarians, on the show here, and they're able to articulate that, a moment of clarity or at least a trajectory that led to clarity and that sort of thing. So, what is that moment? And this is radio, so you eventually have to keep talking.
I know. It's just, I don't know if I can, like, narrowed down to one moment.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of tough, but
yeah.
I think the I mean, our first date was probably the moment. Mm. I mean, I was like, whoa, all right. This is, you know, we're really getting along here. Like, you know, there hasn't been one slightly awkward moment yet, you know, like it's just a pure chemistry there. So that's how I knew she was the one, you know,
there's a moment that I tell Bill when, I guess it was maybe a month and a half into, when we had started dating, and, I got a flat tire on my car on the turnpike. So there were, you know, people going 80 miles an hour around me, and my tire flew off of my car. And, you know, I called. I'm used to being single, you know, so I called AAA and whatever. And, you know, I told Bill, you know, I'm not going to be able to meet you. My car is a flat tire. I said I'll be late you know, I was like, I'll figure it out on my own, I'll be fine. And so I called to get it towed or whatever, and I called Bill back, and he says, well, I'm almost there.
Oh, wow.
And I just in that moment I was just, you know, I realized that, you know, like, I, you know, have a partner in this, and this is somebody who I can, you know, see myself spending the rest of my life with, and that, you know, he is going to come and help me, and, you know, things like that. And I think for me, that's when it really, you know, clicked with me. Mm. And, you know, just continuing us to grow in our faith, both individually and together, I think has really... You know, there's not like one specific moment that I can say, you know, that's when I knew, or, you know, but it's just really being able to see the growth in both of us, and growing closer together and growing closer to God. And, you know, God is just very good in giving you what you need when you need it. Mm. And so I think just, you know, being able to be aware of, you know, that God is calling us to this and giving us, you know, the grace and the strength to do that, because, you know, we're still continuing to, you know, grow towards marriage and things like that. And it's not just one day, it's going to be, you know, the rest of our lives. So we still need to continue to grow in our faith and love for each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, praise God. And that awareness that God's calling you to this, it's just so powerful. And so it's the big difference from a Christian marriage versus a secular marriage. You know, mm-hmm. you know, and you know, any two people can get, you know, one, like any man and any woman, you know, well, I shouldn't say it that way, but it's easy for people to fall in love, mm-hmm. right? But we look for something more. We look for that sense that is God forging this relationship together? Is this more God's initiative than the initiative of, you know, the man and woman and coming together? So praise God for the good witness to Christian marriage that the two of you are giving and that sort of thing. And so, you know, what advice would you have for those who are out there in discernment, you know, in general, like Lord, you know, Lord, I'm trying to figure out what God's will is in my life. You know, what advice would you give to them to get to the point where, you know, of clarity and sureness?
It's funny that you asked that, because I was literally just going to say this anyways, like, even if you didn't ask, but I just like, because the, I don't know, I guess
I knew you were going to ask.
I knew you were going to ask. Yeah. Now the Holy Spirit is just like telling me to say this. I mean, I think the biggest thing is that there's a difference between, you know, asking God if I'm called to the priesthood and hearing him say that you are called to the priesthood. Mm, do you know what I mean? Like, and now, and so, you know, if you're a guy out there, you know, and you're not sure what you're doing with your life, ask God, you know, ask him, am I called to the priesthood? You know, I mean, that's what I did. And he gave me an answer, and it was no, but, you know, but at least I asked, you know, so, you know, definitely, yeah. You know, give it a good ask.
And Catherine?
Something that I was going to say is just really just pray for patience. Because, you know, our timing is not God's timing. And that's something that I've realized in forming this relationship. Just that, you know, Bill and I, you know, both of our hearts would not have been ready at any other time than now. And so, you know, the times that I've had to pray for patients or, you know, wonder why no one is asking me out or things like that, you know, there is a reason to all of that. Mm. And I think God really just makes that clear. And he just helps you to really grow during those times when maybe it doesn't feel like you're hearing God's voice. You really are. You know, it's just sometimes you have to get through the hurdle to realize that, you know, these are the moments where God, he was there, you know, because he always is. So I think just pray for patience as well, because God doesn't always tell you, you know, in the moment, you know, it might be in little things or in people or so just waiting for that perfect timing, because God's timing is perfect.
Yeah, praise God. And then that patience too, you know, just kind of have a sense too, like trusting our Lord, you know, like as you're quietly waiting on him, and like, you know, he has a plan for everyone, And, you know, if you believe that and you know that, then you can be patient and trust in our Lord. And, you know, don't hesitate to ask the question, Lord, are you calling me to the priesthood? Are you calling me to married life? Are you calling me to the religious life? And he will answer that. I think we need the boldness to ask. Well, praise God. You know, I thank you too for being on the show here. And I ask everyone to please pray for them as they continue their marriage preparation and discernment, and that, you know, as they come together in their married life, that our Lord brings about a great fruitfulness in their marriage, and they have many children and some who are called to the priesthood and religious life. So anyway, well, praise God. Thank you for listening to the Vocation Hour. And if you want more information about discernment, if you want more information about young adult ministry, you know, you can reach out to Heed the Call. That's heedthecall.org. And I'm happy to answer any question that you have. You know, may our Lord bless you abundantly. May we continue to kind of build up this culture of vocations where, you know, our number one goal is to make God's will our top priority. We don't want to do it our way if we're really disciples. We want to do it God's way. And that includes then who we marry and when we marry and, you know, or if we get married or not. We want to live life according to God's will and God's plan for us, and that is the way we're going to be the most joyful and peaceful, and that's the best way to know that we're doing God's will. It's that joy and peace that comes from doing God's will. Thank you so much, and may God bless you today.